You are now joining The Mandalorian Watch.
That's right. It's the number one podcast in the galaxy for all things The Mandalorian. I am your host, Alex Maxwell. And joining me, as always, it's been a long time.
It's been a while. yeah, it's Mac Lacey. So we took a little bit of a break after we had wrapped up the weekly, you know, the episode release episodes of our podcast, and so, but we're back. You know, we're checking in.
We're back.
Yeah, we're gonna be bringing you another voicemail episode. So we're gonna be talking to you guys, sort of. We're gonna be hearing your thoughts, your questions, and be responding to those. So
we know you missed us.
Yeah,
we missed you too.
Yeah, we missed doing this. So
yeah, we did. So, okay, originally
it was very nice to have a break, though.
I will say, originally this episode was supposed to be out like a week ago, but after both Mac and I have full time jobs, and so it's kind of hard to plan on the spot. Like, we got out of schedule a little bit, and then once you do that, it makes it very, very difficult to get back on.
It makes it very easy to take a second week off and, you know, that kind of thing.
So,
yeah, and like we said, I mean, we do this for free for you guys. And so, you know, it is hard to justify and, like, prioritize it with other things in life, you know? But we love doing it, so.
I don't know about you, but this is my number one priority in my life.
You just live for the watch.
Yeah, I've been waiting right here at my desk, waiting to podcast.
Alex has not moved away from his microphone.
I haven't.
Yeah, but so anyway, we're gonna do a voicemail thing.
Mac, okay, so it's been a little bit. Before we jump into the voicemails, can I just once again say that Star Wars Twitter is melting down?
Yo, it's rough, and I have not been.
It's Navarro out there.
Yeah, yeah, it is. And like the Mandalorians, we should have just gotten out while we could, but now we're too entrenched and the Imperials are coming for us.
They are coming for, it's too late. We can't get out.
Yeah.
I knew Rise of Skywalker was going to do this. I knew it.
Yes.
I could feel it in my bones. I would, if you go back and you listen to the episode right before the movie came out,
both of us are so on edge.
And now you know why.
And we had cause to be.
Because this is what was going to happen. Except it's just, I feel like it's like the people who hated The Last Jedi really love this movie. And the people who love The Last Jedi really don't love this movie.
Yeah. I don't know. I like think that more people have disliked this one than The Last Jedi.
And I know that was a generalization, but like, I'm talking about like people that I talk to who don't listen to Star Wars podcasts or read Star Wars books and stuff. And I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's rough out there.
It is rough.
Yeah, it's rough.
But you can be protected by the Mandalorian Watch if you follow us on Twitter, which is at the Mando Watch. That's us on Twitter. I get on there quite a bit and try to interact with you guys and send funny funny things out. I mean, I think they're funny. And you can also follow us on Instagram, which is at the Mandalorian Watch. And then if you want to keep calling in, if everybody keeps calling in, we'll keep doing voicemail hotline episodes. So make sure you call in.
We're still getting tons of voicemail. Yeah. So it's cool to see that you guys are still riding high off of the show ending and all that kind of stuff. So
right. So
I will say that the Mandalorian has not caused like any division.
No, it hasn't.
Everybody can just rally around it and love it, and it's amazing.
Yeah, and you know, since the show is over, I feel like we can take a little bit of time to talk about the movies a little bit. I mean, that's not our focus. We know that. We understand. Okay, we understand. But I'm going somewhere with this that will tie it into The Mandalorian. In retrospect, I think it probably would have been wise to set Episode 7 in this trilogy like 60 years after Return of the Jedi and not 25. Because then Han, Luke, and Leia are already gone. You don't have anyone that you are really familiar with. And you could still deal with their legacy and all of that, but you don't feel like any of their stories were tarnished if you feel that way. Right. And I think a lot of people, you know, that's some of their complaints. And then also you just, you know, when you don't get the story that you've imagined for 42 years,
right,
you're probably going to get upset. You know, some people are going to get upset by that. So I don't know. In retrospect, I feel like it would have been wiser to just jump ahead, make a major jump ahead, and still have everything kind of connected to what happened. But it's a new era and stuff. But, you know, you learn. And I think they are learning because...
For sure. Because I think with the series like The Mandalorian, with the new trilogy that they're doing with the High Republic stuff, so we're going back in time like 400 years before the prequels, I think they are getting that, and that's what I want, because like The Mandalorian, we just take this little slice of the galaxy, right, and focus on new characters, you know, new places, new events, and it all ties in, you know, it's still connected, it still feels like the same world and everything, but it's just, I think the storytelling is not as it's not held back in the same way that it is when you have to deal with, you know, six movies that you're directly following up, you know.
Exactly. There's just a lot of weight to especially the original trilogy.
Yeah.
And I just feel like people, you're always going to make at least a certain chunk of the fan base upset because right. It's not what they imagine. And so I think that's exactly where I was going with the High Republic news. What the good news about that is, by the way, there's Jason Ward from MakingStarWars.net reported that they are making movies set in the High Republic time, which is, like you said, about 400 years before The Phantom Menace. And I think that's a perfect time because...
That's great.
You know, just like The Mandalorian, things are going to look familiar to you, but they're different. And so, oops. that is my fault. They're going to look familiar to you, but different. And like Mandalorian is Boba Fett, but it's not Boba Fett. Mm-hmm. Baby Yoda is Yoda, but it's not Yoda. And so like those type of things you could definitely do in the new movie series. And what I love about it too, it's not actually going to be a trilogy. It's going to It's more like the Marvel model of like, here's this person's movie, here's this person's movie. So I'm really hoping if this is the direction that they're going in, I'm hoping we get some High Republic era Mandalorians.
Yes.
That's how I was tying it back in. Yes. That's where I was going.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And I think, like I want to get, like, Tor Vizsla and like, those kind of, you know, characters. Like, let's actually see those stories, you know?
Right.
Let's, you know, and I think they have done a good job of, in The Mandalorian, we've talked about this before, like, remystifying the Mandalorian thing.
Right.
Which I think is going to make it fit in with the whole High Republic era a lot better. Now, right. You know, like the new Mandalorian stuff and, you know, from the Clone Wars, like, I think that would feel very out of place in a prequel to the prequels, you know?
Right. And so, like, if they are doing that Marvel model, I would assume you'd have a few Jedi movies where you're following different Jedis.
Or yeah.
Jedi, sorry. And then maybe, like, a smuggler movie.
Yeah.
Maybe a bounty hunter movie.
Yeah,
maybe a bad guy movie.
Yeah, like let's get a Sith movie. Like let's do.
Why not a Mandalorian? I mean, obviously this has been wildly popular. It's like the most popular thing
ever. Yeah, like right nobody now. Doesn't like it pretty right. much. Like I mean, there are plenty of people who are like sort of indifferent about it. You know,
sure.
like oh, it's not really doing anything new, and you know, it's kind of like it's not. It's very safe and that kind of thing. But like the response, I haven't heard anyone just be like, I hate this show, you know?
Right. Yeah. And I think they've learned from both The Mandalorian and Rogue One.
Yes.
That's the way to go now.
Right. Even though maybe not at first, now in hindsight, I've seen a lot of appreciation for Rogue One too. Like people were like, oh yeah, like Rogue One was great. And I think that has a lot to do with new characters, new stories, you know, that kind of
thing. But it's still Star Wars.
Right.
And I think, I don't know, I just feel like they're going to be way more successful that way in terms of public perception, and hopefully we will come together and heal all wounds and, but I doubt that.
Yeah.
We're always going to have something to complain about. But, yeah, I don't know. I was saying on Twitter the other day, like, when this news broke, you know, they that line, by the way, if you have not listened to our Clone Wars and Rebels recap of the Mandalorian-centric episodes, they are totally available right now for you to go back, watch those episodes on Disney Plus, and then listen to the podcast, because we break down every single episode. But yeah. I remember from the Mandalore plot, when we first see the Darksaber,
mm-hmm.
Pre Vizsla says this saber was forged in the fall of the Old Republic.
Right. Which
would be before the High Republic.
Yeah.
Right? And so I'm thinking maybe Tar Vizsla, that happened way before even what we're about to do now with the High Republic, but the Mandalorian heist to steal the Darksaber, that could be totally take place then.
Absolutely.
And I would love to see Taika Waititi direct that.
Yeah, for sure.
So,
speaking of the Clone Wars, we are about to get season 7 of the Clone Wars,
right,
dropping on Disney Plus in February. And it's understood that one thing they're definitely going to be focusing on somewhere in the season to some degree is the Siege of Mandalore.
Mm-hmm.
So we're definitely going to be covering, you know, just like we did with the rewatch, any of the new Clone Wars stuff. I mean, like, Alex and I aren't going to watch it all, you know, anyway.
Right.
So anything that has to do with Mandalorian stuff, we're going to be covering here. So we'll be doing, you know, the same type of episodes for any of those new things that come out.
Yeah. Anything Mandalorian-centric, we are going to be focused on, absolutely.
And this, like, I think the Siege of Mandalore is going to be very interesting.
Okay, so let me ask you this, because this will kind of lead us into our voicemails, okay?
Okay.
Do you think we'll see Gideon?
Yeah.
Be introduced in maybe the Siege of Mandalore? Now, I know the last person to have the Darksaber was Bo-Katan in Rebels, which is way after Clone Wars. However, I don't think it would be a bad idea to introduce Gideon as like a Republic soldier or captain or whatever.
That's where a lot of the Imperial officers came from. You know?
Right. And so like maybe he's working on Mandalore with the clones during the Siege of Mandalore. And that's, you know, he's a little more familiar with what's going on in Mandalorian history and culture.
Yeah. Or before Moff Gideon, I would say maybe Werner Herzog's character.
Oh, yep.
Because he seemed like he really had like a knowledge and almost respect for the Mandalorian culture, you know? So like, I think that could be, he could definitely show up too.
There's gotta be some sort of connection. If Dave Filoni is doing it, I just feel like there's going to be at least a small connection to what we just witnessed in season 1 of The Mandalorian.
Right.
So
yeah, there will be.
It's must-see TV for Mandalorian fans.
Yeah, absolutely. Hmm. So check that out. You already have Disney Plus from watching The Mandalorian.
Right.
So come with us on that journey. All right. I think it's about voicemail time. What do you say?
Let's do it.
Hey, guys. This is Todd from Tennessee. I'm calling to see what your thoughts were on the likelihood of the showrunners using actual historical events to influence some of the events going on in the show. So this is basically going to be in reference to the Night of a Thousand Tears, and I'm curious what your thoughts are on this. So 1934 in Nazi Germany, there's this purge that is orchestrated by Hitler and his highest-ranking officers. Basically, this purge is a bunch of political executions that Hitler uses to consolidate his power in Germany while simultaneously eliminating a bunch of his biggest rivals. This purge was carried out by the German SA, who are also known as stormtroopers. But what made me think of this is that this event became known as the Night of the Long Knives. It was the structure of the name that brought this to my mind, and I'm curious if you think they might use this as inspiration to the Night of a Thousand Tears, and if so, what that may look like in the show. So keep up the good work, and here's to the long wait for season 2.
Todd from Tennessee. Thanks so much for calling in.
Yeah, and thank you for the history lesson.
Yeah, I also had, I thought of like, oh, the Night of Long Knives, like when I heard the name, you know, the Night of a Thousand Tears. I also thought of like Trail of Tears and that kind of thing.
That's where my mind went first.
Yeah.
But like, I really like this analogy to what Hitler did to consolidate power.
Yeah, with the Empire doing. I mean, the Empire is based on Nazi Germany. Like, in the original trilogy, I mean, like George Lucas is basically like, how do I make space Nazis? And that's, you know, we get the Empire.
So here's what we know. Let's kind of, like, based off of what Todd just called and told us with, you know, Hitler and Nazi Germany and the Night of the Long Knives. Here's what we already know about the Siege of Mandalore and the Night of a Thousand Tears. So let's talk about that and see if we can kind of see, yeah, maybe that is drawing inspiration from Night of the Long Knives. So we know because of the season finale of The Mandalorian that the Night of a Thousand Tears was part of the Siege of Mandalore.
Right.
Right? And which gunships with heavy repeating blasters like the E-11 Webb.
Right.
Attacked fields occupied by Mandalorian recruits.
Mm-hmm.
So, here's what I'm thinking. We know that the Siege of Mandalore is one of the final battles of the Clone Wars because of the Ahsoka novel. So I'm about to get real deep on you guys here. But we know from the Ahsoka novel that Darth Maul and Ahsoka fight on Mandalore.
On Mandalore.
And this is right before the Clone Wars have Order 66.
Right.
So I'm wondering if part of Order 66 was the clones and stormtroopers. Hey, while you're taking out the Jedi, make sure you kill as many Mandalorians as you can because
they're going to be a problem.
Exactly.
Right.
The Emperor knows they will be a problem if you don't deal with them now.
Right. Because I mean, like, what, like, they're already showing like they're not going to be on your side. So why would you want, like, basically let's get rid of the most like powerful warrior culture that would, you know, potentially be one of the only people. Like, if the Jedi are gone, the Mandalorians are going to be the next up to, you know, actually do some damage to the Empire.
Yeah. Get in your way. That's for sure. So yeah, it makes it, I could see that absolutely being inspiration for, what we know now is the Night of a Thousand Tears. And I'm assuming we are going to see this, like we just said, when season 7 of the Clone Wars comes out.
For sure. So yeah, great, great observation. Another thing Todd brought up is the long wait until season 2.
Oh yeah.
And that just hit me like, oh man, we gotta, it's going to be so long.
Do you think it will come out a little bit earlier than it did?
I think so. They said fall. So like,
right. Well, I mean, technically November is fall too, but I think October.
But I think October is generally kind of what I think of as being like peak fall, you know? Yeah. So I'd love for it to come out then.
Yes. So. Well, and then Star Wars Celebration is actually in August this year.
Yeah.
And so I'm wondering if Celebration people will get to see the first episode a little early. And I'm assuming that if they're going to do that, it won't be very long until after that it comes out.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm excited, though.
Yeah, I'm pumped.
That's next month. That's in February. So we'll see. I don't know if maybe someone out there can call and let us know or tweet us. I don't know if they're doing it weekly like they did The Mandalorian or not.
Yeah. I don't have any information to base this off of, you know, but just my gut feeling is that they're going to drop it all at one time.
Same. Because they're shorter.
They're shorter. They're, you know, and I think we're so used to being able to just like look at, oh, let's just go watch, you know, season 5 of the Clone Wars on, you know, Netflix or whatever. That's what we, you know, were doing before Disney Plus.
Right.
So it just feels like they're probably going to just drop it all at one time.
I get that feeling too.
And I
don't know.
Yeah. Like, while the Clone Wars, I think, is still like the new season will be very popular. I don't think it's going to have the same mass appeal as The Mandalorian did, you know?
No.
So I feel like it's all going to come at once, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, I feel that too. If it's not, then it will be weekly. If it is weekly, then the finale will be May the 4th. Mm. So that would be good.
That'd be kind of fun.
That would be kind of fun.
But all right, you want to do another voicemail?
Let's do another voicemail.
Hey, this is Tim from Tucson. I just want to answer Max's question. The band was Hinder. They did tour, however, with Nickelback in 2008. And they had more than one hit song. They also had Get Stoned, Take It to the Limit, Up All Night. But that's the group you're thinking about is Hinder. Have a good one.
Tim, thank you for calling and letting us know from our last breakdown that the band we were talking about was Hinder.
Yeah. Thanks.
I can't tell you how many texts, how many tweets I got that were telling us Hinder.
That it was Hinder.
I didn't know there was such a huge Hinder following.
Man, the Hinder fan base, they'll go to bat.
The Hinder Knights, yes. The Hinder Knights are very rabid fan base of Hinder. But,
oh, man.
Okay, so someone on Twitter, speaking of which, when we were talking about Creed and Hire and all of that, when someone actually put, like, can you take me higher to that flashback scene?
And it
went surprisingly well.
It lined up a little too well. I was like, did they listen to that song while like...
It was a little concerning, so...
It was very good. I loved the... And, like, I don't think they cut the video at all. I think that's the actual scene.
Yeah, and that's the disturbing part.
Yeah.
So.
But.
Anyway, thank you, Tim. If we ever have any more Hinder questions, make sure you call back, Tim.
Yeah. Thank you, Tim.
Let's do the next one.
Hey, Mac and Alex, it's Rick. It's been a while. You'll have to pardon my sick voice. I'm very under the weather, but I wanted to get a message into you guys. Concerning the Mandalorian here, I mean, it's the theme of the show, right? Season one, start to finish, you know, we thought the lows were low points, but I think all of these episodes mattered. And the finale, holy moly, those last two episodes, just insane what they managed to fit into the show, and the cohesion between different directors is nothing short of amazing. So I can't wait for season two. But I do have a question for you guys. When the armorer tells the Mandalorian that the only way that his he can release the child is to either raise him of their own, which he says he's too weak, he would die. The other way is to find more of his kind. Do you think more of his kind implies more of the species, more like Yoda species people? Or do you think she's referring to Jedi themselves? Because she says, you know, she's seen his kind before. It'd be a way to reintroduce that into the series, especially at a time when there doesn't seem to be a lot around. We don't know what Luke's doing at this point, but I just wanted to get your guys' thoughts on that. I think it would be really cool. You know, season two is just a couple of months away. They're already teasing some more familiar characters for season two. So, I'll let you guys mull on that. And we will talk in the new year. Cheers. May the force be with you.
Hey, Rick. Good to hear from you again. Long time caller. So that's definitely a big point. When the armorer says, you know, his own kind, like, do they mean Yoda's species, like more little Yodas, or do they mean Jedi? And I think, like, it'd be very interesting how they would do it if it was gonna be more Jedi. Because really, like, pretty much the only Jedi left after, you know, the original trilogy are gonna be the people that Luke is training. So, like, if they were gonna do, like, oh, the Mandalorian has to take Yoda just to find Jedi, like, you'd think you would get, like, Luke and, like, a young Ben Solo and stuff like that, you know? And I just,
well,
like,
Ben
don't...
Ben Solo would be a little too young there. But, okay. Yeah, yeah. I see what you're saying.
So, I mean, like, I just don't see that happening in The Mandalorian. Like, I don't think they're gonna, like, get Mark Hamill and, like, de-age him and... stuff like that, you know? Because this is only, like, 6 years or so after Return of the Jedi. Like, so I just, like, I wouldn't see that happening. But if they could find a different way to do it, which, you know, they totally could, that's not going to be, like, Luke and the Jedi that Luke is training, that, you know, just other Jedi somewhere, I think it would be really awesome because you'd get to see, I think, a lot of the, like, the whole, like, rivalry, the millennia-long, like, ingrained opposition that the Mandalorians and the Jedi have, you know? I think you'd get into playing with that territory, and you'd have to explore, like, what does it mean for... you know, a Mandalorian to be partnering with a Jedi, or to be, you know, this child who is, for all, you know, intents and purposes, Mandalorian, like, now that the Mandalorian's protecting him and has taken him in, like, what does that mean to, you know, give them over to the Jedi? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't know how far they'll go with that.
Right.
You know, you know, the guy who plays Bucky from Captain America looks like Mark Hamill.
Yep.
And he's already doing
it. Sebastian...
Stan?
Stan? Yeah.
You want to say Shaw, but it's not.
I know, I'm like, not,
yeah. But, you know, and he's already doing a Disney Plus show. So I could see a situation like that where maybe you see Luke Skywalker and he's betrayed by somebody else.
Yeah,
but I just feel like they're probably going to stay away from that, and I think they're going to focus a little more on the species.
Yeah, and like I don't think I would want Luke to be in The Mandalorian. Like we were saying up top at the top of the show. Like I like that we're in this own, you know, it's its own little self-contained slice of the galaxy with new characters, and doesn't really, you know, like I think if we get Luke involved, a lot of the charm that the show benefits from, you know, is going to be hindered by that.
Nice.
So, yeah, but I mean, like, are they going to, like, to Dagobah? Like, we don't really know that, like, Yoda's from Dagobah. You know, that's just where he ended up.
Right.
Are we gonna see, like, a bunch of Yodas and Yaddles and stuff? Or, I don't know, it'll be interesting.
It will be. You know, we'll see. There was a report that came out that, you know, there was going to be characters from the movie introduced into season 2 of The Mandalorian. So we'll see. Yeah.
We'll see.
We'll see. Thanks for the call, Rick.
Yep. Thanks, Rick.
Hey, Mandalorian Watch. My name is Carolyn, and I'm calling from Indiana, Indianapolis, Indiana. And I just listened to your chapter 2 podcast episode, and you were talking about the estimated actual age of Baby Yoda, which would be 5 years old, which I thought, wow, that is probably the same age as the Mandalorian when he was a foundling, because he looked roughly 4 or 5, probably not even 6, but probably 5. So anyway, maybe you thought of that already. I don't know. So there's that. Have a great day.
Hey, Carolyn, thanks for calling in. Yeah, I would say, like, I think it's cool that you pointed that out. I do think, like, immediately when the Mandalorian sees Baby Yoda, there's something there that resonates really deeply with the Mandalorian. You know, himself being in that same situation. And them being, like, the same age, like, I think just, you know, furthers that. So, yeah, I think, and we don't exactly know how, you know, Yoda's species ages and stuff. It might not be a direct, like, linear, you know, relationship. But I like to think that he's about 5, and that was probably the same age as the Mandalorian. So yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Let's do the next one.
Hey there. My name's Ken. Been listening to your podcast, and I haven't heard anyone else talking about it, but in the 3rd episode or chapter 3, The Sims, when the Mandalorian is walking back to his ship, just before, you know, that scene where the ball is missing, and that's what makes him decide to go back to get Baby Yoda. Just before that, when they show him walking outside, there is a YT-1300F light freighter, Carillion, taking off. I bring that up. Nobody's really talked about that, but I just kind of like randomly paused it on my phone so I go use the bathroom. When I came back, I was like, is that the Millennium Falcon? Anyway, love what you guys are doing.
Ken! Thanks for pointing something out that I've never actually noticed, and I'm just going to have to take your word for it. I can't find a screenshot for it, neither can Mac, so we'll go back and we'll watch it, but definitely that's interesting.
Yeah, after Alex and I finish up here, I'm definitely going to go look at it and see if I can find it, but that's cool. I've always viewed the Millennium Falcon as like the pretty much one of the best symbols for Star Wars. And I feel like, because like it's something that can outlive any character.
Sure.
You know, like, and so it's not like we ever lose. I don't think we'll ever lose the Millennium Falcon. Like, I don't think they'll ever blow it up or anything. And it shows up all kinds of places. Like, it shows up in, like, you see, you know, that same kind of freighter, you know, in the prequels some and stuff like that. So even if it's not actually the Millennium Falcon, if it's still like the YT-1300, like I just think it's a good symbol for Star Wars,
sure.
You know?
Sure.
So it's cool to have it around, and it's cool that it pops up places.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess Han probably still has it at that time.
I guess right? So.
You know, we don't know exact timeline of when he loses it and stuff, but, so maybe Han was just doing some smuggling or something, and we happen to see it. So
yeah,
cool. All right, well, I think that's gonna do it. You know, again, if we didn't get to your voicemail, you know, I'm sorry, but we get a lot, so we can't do them all, but please keep calling. We love hearing, we listen to all of them, you know, even if it's not on the show. So yeah, keep calling in. Thanks for everybody that called, and just thanks for everybody that's, you know, stuck with us even after the show's over. So
absolutely.
Yeah, and like I said, you know, we may not be uploading quite as regularly, but we're still going to be doing content, you know. So keep subscribed, and
we'll be here every month.
Yeah, at least every month. Yeah, in the lead up for season 2, but which can't get here soon enough. So
right.
Until our paths cross, keep the watch.